Let's talk preventing and treating dental disease now. Dr. Lowell Akritz of Madison, our guest, really pleased to have him back to talk about, well, what we can do with our, about our teeth, I guess, and how we can prevent dental disease. And once maybe we have it, how to treat it. If you have a question one way or the other on that, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org. Dr. Lowell Akritz, welcome back.
Good to be here, Larry.
Last Friday was National Dental Awareness Day. How do you celebrate that?
Well, you can floss and brush an extra two times or something. it is something that's sponsored by the American Dental Association, and they do this every year. And there are little programs that go on in various communities, mostly for children.
Yeah,
you know, smile days and things of that nature that they do for kids. And it certainly isn't a national holiday.
But it's kind of fun and a way to draw attention to care of your teeth.
Exactly. That's the whole purpose of it.
Well, you know, cardiovascular disease contributes to over 2,000 deaths a day, the leading killer of both men and women in the U.S. What's the link between gum disease and cardiovascular disease?
Well, they found that the bacteria that are present in the mouth in gum disease are similar and very much like and the same actual species and genus that they find in the plaque that lines arteries in the heart and in the body.
Wow.
So they have proposed the fact that someone with periodontal disease, which significantly increases the amount of these bacteria in the body, can have an effect on cardiovascular disease as well. And there are other significant factors too. Obesity is a significant predictor of periodontal disease, for example. And so there's a lot of interrelationship between what goes on in your mouth if you have gum disease and what can happen in the rest of your body. So it's obviously the thing to be desired is to keep a very healthy mouth.
Absolutely. Joan in Madison has a question for you, so let's go to Joan. Hi, Joan.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a feeling the answer is going to be go see a dentist, but I have a tooth that I just broke last week. It's a molar. It's the fourth one back from the canine, and it did have a filling. Apparently, I talked to my dentist's office briefly, and they said there was a note saying I would eventually need a crown. So my question is, I don't have health insurance or dental insurance, but I could if I waited until February. I have no pain. The filling is exposed, but I've chewed crunchy things on it. Am I just an idiot not to go see a dentist about this?
No, not at all. If you're not having any symptoms from it or pain or discomfort, other than perhaps a sharp edge that might rub against your tongue or something like that from the broken filling, it might not. You can certainly wait till February, but what I would probably suggest is go and have a visit to your dentist. Let the dentist take a look at it and just make sure that there's nothing really seriously wrong that could compromise this whole issue before February rolls around.
And sometimes if there's a sharp edge, they can
smooth it off a little bit until
you have a chance to get in there.
Right, and then it's less irritating to your tongue and so forth. But if you're not having any obvious discomfort from it, it's probably okay. But it'd be a good idea just to have the dentist look at it just to make sure there's nothing there that's going to compromise the future treatment.
Yeah, that's the complicating factor. If I do that, I think what happens then is the insurance people say this was
pre-existing
before you signed up to the insurance.
Ah, okay.
And I don't have sharp edges. And again, you know, I mean, I don't want to be stupid and I'll pay the $1,000 or...
Well, no. I think you should wait.
Yeah?
I mean, you know, yeah, save the money. I mean, if you're going to have insurance in a few months, and just treat it with tender, loving care. You know, try to chew on the other side as much as possible. Keep those hard, crunchy things off of that tooth. And keep it real clean. And I think you should be fine.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Joan, for calling. Appreciate your call. 1-800-642-1234, the number to call, or give us an email at talk@WPR.org. I think she expected you to say to get it taken care of right away.
Well, In some instances, you would. But, you know, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
You know, and in these times, you know, it's some people just, you know, wouldn't be able to afford that. So,
Richard in Fremont, we'll turn to you next. Hi, Richard.
Hello, guys. I've been to the dentist, and I have gingivitis with some bone loss, teeth. And I was wanting to know, what is there an antibiotic or a daily rinse to fight that gingivitis or periodontal disease away?
Well,
and I'll take my answer off the radio.
Okay, there is, but first you have to get the disease cleaned up. I mean, if there is active periodontal disease in your mouth, you have to have that treated so that it stops progressing. And then there are mouthwashes and methods of home care which can prevent it from recurring. But if the periodontal disease is fairly severe, it usually means more than two visits to the dentist every year. Studies have shown that in periodontal disease itself, it takes about 90 days after a good thorough cleaning of the teeth for the bacteria to reappear in the crevices of the gum where the periodontal disease exists. And so basically it's recommended, if you do have periodontal disease, to, you know, change your home care to what is recommended to help prevent, and then also see the dentist four times a year for a cleaning. And that will help to control the periodontal disease and not let it get any worse.
All right. On to Lynn in Evansville, Wisconsin. Hi, Lynn.
Hello, and thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I, like a prior caller, had some antique fillings that fell out, and unfortunately I waited a little too long, and now they have some problems and probably will have to be removed. My question is, the relative long-term safety of dental implants, having a metal in your bone and gum, and what are the consequences of that if I were to choose that route?
Well, there's probably 35 to 40 years of experience with dental implants at this point in time,
mm-hmm.
and they are proven to be very, very effective, very long-term as far as their use is concerned, and very safe. Dental implants are made from the metal titanium, which is absolutely inert in the human body. It is so inert that the bone of the jaw will grow right up next to the metal and actually literally fuse to that metal. And so they're very safe. And the only suggestion I would have is that you seek out a person to do this for you who has done a lot of it.
That was my next question.
Yeah.
Where would one go to find such an individual?
Well, generally, oral surgeons are very competent at placing these implants in the jaw, and then you need to find a dentist who has good experience in replacing the missing teeth with crowns upon the implants. So it's a team effort, generally speaking. There are some dentists who also place the implants and then do the reconstructive part of it. Prosthodontists, which are dentists who are trained to take care of more difficult types of dental problems. They go to school for an extra 2 to 3 years in order to learn these techniques. They, too, are very excellent for the placement of implants. So either consult with an oral surgeon, consult with a prosthodontist, or a general practicing dentist who has done a lot of implant work.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for calling. Michelle in Peshtigo, on to you. Hi, Michelle.
Hello. I have a question. I had all my mercury fillings replaced except three because they were so sensitive. And right now I'm having slightly bleeding gums and soreness of my gums. I had that done about 3 years ago, and I was just wondering what you could suggest what I could do.
Oh, well, you had all of these silver fillings taken out except for three?
Except for three, because I was having such issues with trying to eat. It was very sensitive and sore. So he had said that it'll take time to get used to, and then I heard different versions of what could happen, me having that done that already. And right now, I mean, I have horrible teeth. I mean, I had an abscess tooth 2 years ago, and it just seemed like it was a waste of money because my teeth are just getting bad, worse and worse, and I just wondered what I could do.
Well, you know, this is an issue that comes up when I'm on with Larry very frequently about the removal of silver fillings and the replacement of these fillings with the white-colored resin materials that are used for this purpose. And my answer is that these particular types of resin fillings are very, very technique-sensitive. You have to be extremely careful in the placement of these for them to be successful. And it is unfortunate that there are dentists who they know how to do this, but they don't take the great care that is necessary to put these fillings in properly.
And see, I didn't read enough information about they shrink too.
Well, that's one of the issues. If they're not put, if the techniques are not followed very strictly to the letter, they don't have a good longevity. They won't last very long. They tend to leak. That's where the pain comes from with them. And so, if you have,
why didn't you tell me this? It's real irritating because I don't work a whole lot. I don't have a lot of money. I spent all that money.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't know what to tell you other than, you know, what I'm saying about the particular use of these materials. There's a statistic that I saw recently that says about 40% of the dentists in this country are no longer doing silver fillings and are putting in these resin plastic fillings. And, you know, I happen to be on the other side of the coin here. I feel there is absolutely nothing wrong with silver fillings. They work well. They last a long time. They're not expensive as other types of dental treatment. And why, you know, this has been a thing that people want these white fillings that don't show. But the material itself is a very technically sensitive material, and unless it's done with great care, the quality of their life is not good. The fillings fail after a short period of time.
And thank you very much for calling. Dr. Lowell Lackritz, our guest, as we talk with him about preventing and treating dental disease here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about preventing and treating dental disease here on the Ideas Net. Larry Mueller with my guest, Dr. Lowell Lackritz of Madison. Happy to have him along, and thank you for listening in. Give us a call with your question at 800-642-1234 or email at talk@wpr.org. Miranda from Duluth, Minnesota, been waiting a while, so we'll go right to Miranda. Hi, Miranda. Thank you for calling.
Thanks. I'm afraid I'm the one with the son with the spot on his tooth. We thought maybe it was a strawberry seed or something along those lines, but it's not. And I'm wondering, we're scheduled to go back in under 6 months for his next checkup, and I'm wondering if this is something that could be reversible.
Is it on one of his front teeth?
No, it's on his... One of his incisors, maybe? No, it's right behind his canine. It's that first little premolar.
Okay, the premolar. And it's right. Is it right on the top of the tooth?
Mm-hmm.
A little.
We're doing a lot of brushing on it.
Like a little brown stain?
Brown.
Yeah, it could be a small cavity. Sorry to tell you. That's a possibility. Although it also could be a stain. The tooth could have a deep groove, which tends to discolor over time. But okay. Basically, there probably isn't. You say you're going back to the dentist in less than 6 months?
He wanted us back in 4, and it looks to me like it is actually getting lighter. So maybe it is a stain. I don't know.
It is.
Electric brush on him, but he won't let me.
He doesn't like the vibration. Yeah. Oh, there he is. it could be either or. A little cavity or a stain, and basically it's up to the dentist to determine what that actually is and what needs to be done. If it is a little small cavity, it's something that, you know, it'll take him probably 5 minutes to fix. So, you know, it's nothing that's real serious.
And I have to say that I have resin fillings, and they're fabulous.
Okay, well, you have, then you have really, somebody who knows how to do it correctly.
Yay!
Yeah.
All right, thanks. Miranda, for calling. Appreciate your call. All right, let's go to Dick in Lake Tomahawk. Dick, hello.
Hello. Thank you for the program, and
sure.
Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
I have a kind of a mystery question. About 4 or 5 years ago, I had a feeling in one of my front teeth that when it would hit the lower tooth, it was kind of like, I don't know, it was like a jarring or something like that, and then it didn't go away, and I thought it was maybe just something in with the sinuses. And when the actual x-rays came through, the dentist said, well, you've got a supernumerary up there that's touching on your tooth, and he said it's going to be a surgery that, you know, we should really go into cautiously. So he sent me to several surgeons, and they looked at it and took the x-rays and so on. And finally, the dentist said, well, let's just play it out and see if it doesn't, you know, go away by, not the supernumerary, but the feeling in there. And over a period of a year, He went back, and it did start to go away, and he took more x-rays. He came out, he said, I've never seen anything like this. It disappeared. Now, can that happen? Do they dissolve, or why all of a sudden was it gone?
Well, that would be a first for me. The supernumerary teeth generally don't disappear.
Uh-huh. And I had gone through several dentists doing
And they all looked at it, and they all agreed it was a supernumerary?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They showed it to me. And I've never gone back to investigate it, and my dentist came out, he said, I don't know how to explain this, but... I was just wondering if, you know, what your knowledge base would tell me what happened. Did they dissolve?
Did they take just one, the x-ray that he took, was it just one most recent x-ray of the area?
Yeah. The one that the last time I came after a year.
It could be, and this is speculation on my part, but it could be that when the x-ray was taken, the angle at which the x-ray was taken kind of placed that supernumerary tooth behind the permanent tooth's root. It would more or less hide it.
Mm-hmm.
It might disguise it so that it couldn't be clearly seen.
Mm-hmm.
It might be worthwhile to get another x-ray from a slightly different angle.
Now, they did do they probably could check that because they did do a panoramic one just recently.
That should have showed it if it were there.
Yeah, and it didn't come up, and it was for... But
that is pretty weird.
I thought, well, what's going on here? And I thought maybe you'd have the answer.
Well, I never have heard of a supernumerary tooth just disappearing on its own. But, you know, if it's not there.
It's not there.
It's not there. What can I tell you? Might be a first.
It could be a first. Dick, thank you for calling. Appreciate it. A new first. Let's go to Josie in Johnson
There's
Creek.
Certainly no harm done there. I mean,
No, absolutely not. Josie,
hi. Hi there. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question about chronic keratosis. And I have been to numerous dentists. I get my teeth cleaned twice a year. I brush. I floss. I've had my tonsils out. I get my sinuses treated. And still, I've tried TheraBreath, BreathRx. And, you know, and I've gone to a periodontist for evaluation, and I didn't have any pockets or anything. So just, you know, wondering, do you have any insight?
Well, let me ask one question. Do you brush your tongue?
Yes, I have a tongue scraper.
Okay.
That was part of the kit.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, in that case, probably the halitosis you're complaining about is probably further back down the throat. It can come from the esophagus. It can come from various places deeper in the digestive tract. And so if you're doing all of the things that you say you're doing, you're controlling most or any of the dental causes of halitosis. And basically, it probably, there are some medications and gargling type drugs that you can use.
Okay.
You know, I can't bring to mind any offhand. It's been a while since I discussed this issue.
I know I even tried Periodex, but then there was a problem with staining. I have a lot of the white filling.
That will do that. The other issue too is you could use, you know, on a regular basis, use a mouthwash. Basically, I would recommend one that does not contain alcohol. And just, you know, every so often rinse with that, and it'll help control any odor.
Yeah.
I was treated with the antibiotic post-treatment for the H. pylori. So, you know, I don't know what else.
Well, you know, you're not certainly being harmed physically by this issue, but, you know, it can be disturbing socially, I suppose. But, you know, I would recommend just using a mouthwash on a regular basis, a non-alcohol mouthwash.
All right. Thanks, Josie, for calling.
About all she can do is really mask it.
Don in Richland Center, we're on to you now. Hi, Don.
Well, top of the morning to you.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks for taking my call. I had all my teeth pulled out here about 2 months ago. And my gums still hurt. And the dentist said it would cost me $2,500 for dentures, and I don't have any insurance. I wonder if there's a possibility of going to a dental school or somewhere else to get dentures?
Yes.
A little more reasonable?
Yes, you can. Where are you located?
Richland Center.
Well, the nearest dental school would be in Milwaukee at Marquette University, or you could go up to Minneapolis to the University of Minnesota School of Dentistry.
Well, there's a firm over in Prairie du Chien that advertises.
Right. There's also a dental office in Madison that is called Affordable Dentures. And they do a pretty nice job, and their fees are somewhat less than, you know, normal market rates. Mm-hmm. So there are places you can get dentures well made, well done, at a lower price.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's in Madison?
Yeah. It's called Affordable Dentures.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. You can join in as well with your questions. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. Let's turn to Carol in Minocqua. Hi, Carol.
Hi. I'm just wondering, I've heard that dry mouth from medications can make you more susceptible to cavities.
That's true.
I wondered if you had any recommendations for people who are taking medication that they really have to have.
Yeah, there are several types of so-called artificial saliva that are on the market that you can use. They're usually over-the-counter purchased at any pharmacy. Most pharmacies will carry two or three of them. One which I have found to be quite good and tastes okay and does a nice job, it's called Stoppers 4. It's made by a company in California. Stoppers,
okay.
You know, STOPPERS-4.
The number four.
The number four.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, and if your pharmacy doesn't carry it, they can order it for you. It runs about, I don't know, $6 a bottle or something like that. It's not very expensive.
How often do you need to use it?
Oh, as often as you need to. You know, if your mouth feels real dry, it's a little spray bottle, and you just give your mouth two or three sprays, and it'll remove that dry feeling. And you can do it as many times a day as you need it, because it's not a harmful product.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for calling. And on to Andrew in Milwaukee. Andrew, hi to you.
Hello. I heard you recommend to the lady with the breath problem a non-alcohol-based mouthwash.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm wondering, was that just for that specific situation, or is there a reason to avoid alcohol-based mouthwash?
No, I recommend people avoid alcohol-based mouthwashes altogether, because alcohol has a very drying effect on the tissues of the mouth. Overuse or excessive use of an alcohol-based mouthwash can cause changes in the tissue. And I'm not going to say it's going to cause cancer, but it can cause tissue changes, which may be associated with cellular changes. And so I recommend people use non-alcohol mouthwashes.
Okay, great. What would be, would you have a specific recommendation of something?
No, there's all kinds of them. There's Crest makes one, and there's several brands that you can get.
All right. Thanks very much for your call. Leslie in Tomahawk. On to you now. Hi, Leslie.
Hi. Good afternoon. I was wondering, what is the maximum amount of time that you should go in between full mouth x-rays?
Every 5 years.
5 years?
Yeah, as long as you're not having any dental problems or don't have a history of excessive dental problems, a lot of cavities and things like that, or if you have, you know, tons of fillings in your teeth, you might want to do it a little more frequently.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, about every 5 years is sufficient.
Okay, great.
But in between, you should get x-rays to check for cavities.
Right.
Yeah.
No. Okay, right. Great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yep, thanks for calling. And on to Charlotte in Racine. Hi, Charlotte. What can we do for you?
I have a problem. I don't hear you? Okay. Do you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. I had a root canal done. And after that, I had another infection. First, there was an infection. The root canal was done, was fine. Then there was another infection. And then they told me to remove the tooth. But tooth is extremely tight into the gum. They said because I took Actinel at one time a few years ago, it would be best to remove the tooth.
Actinel, did you say?
Actinel.
Yes. Actinel.
Actinel for bone. Bone loss, to prevent bone loss. It's one of the drugs that's used to combat bone loss. Are you still on the drug?
No, I haven't been for years.
Should be no problem to having that tooth out if it has to come out.
It doesn't. That's very tight in there.
Well, you need a competent oral surgeon to take it out then. You know, somebody.
Why would I have to take it out?
Well, if it's infected.
It's not infected.
Oh.
It's only on the side, to the cheek, okay?
Okay, okay.
There was an infection, and I had bone loss in that area.
Oh, so it's the bone loss. It's a periodontal problem, a gum problem, that is causing the bone loss, I guess, from what you're telling me.
I think it stopped right now. The dentist I'm going to said I shouldn't pull it out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, you know, that was going to be my next thing. If it's not causing you any difficulty and it maintains itself as is and doesn't get any worse, there probably isn't a real necessity reason to get that tooth taken out. And as long as your dentist is watching it and making sure that everything's okay, just leave it alone.
Yeah, leave it alone. And good luck, and thank you very much for calling. George in Columbus, it's your turn. Hi, George.
Good morning. I've got a question about root canal also. I had two root canals done about 9 years ago, and then I had one done about two months ago. And I asked the dentist, what would I supposed to expect as far as how it feels after a period of time? And he said, his patients say that it feels like it's a wood,
mm-hmm.
a wooden feeling. But I do have sensations in those two teeth if I put pressure on them or if I push up against them. I feel a sensation in there. And I'm just wondering, is that indicative of a possibility of an infection or what?
Probably not. As the dentist told you, when a root canal is done on a tooth, the nerve within the tooth is removed and replaced with an inert material. Therefore, the tooth loses its vitality, as it were, and it does not have the same feeling as a vital tooth. It does have a feeling woodenness is a good description, and there's really nothing wrong with that. I've got a root canal in one of my teeth that's been there for 35 years, and that tooth occasionally, you know, if I happen to bite directly on it, it doesn't feel the same as the other teeth.
I don't mean that it doesn't feel the same. It feels like it's sensitive.
You actually get some pain?
I would say marginal.
Okay.
I wouldn't say pain, discomfort pain, but a pain.
Well, it might be worthwhile to go back and have the person who did the root canals check it out.
Well, just to make sure. Two were done 9 years ago. I was just wondering if I'm not allergic to the inert material that they put in there.
No. That wouldn't be the case because it stays within the tooth. It does not come out of the tooth itself.
But it's down in the in where the tooth comes into the jaw or into the
yeah. But it's sort of locked in there. It's sort of almost hermetically sealed. So you know, there's very little chance of you being allergic to that material. That would be extremely rare.
The nerve is taken out
yes.
so that there's a canal there.
Yes, but the canal is filled.
It's filled from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes into where the
it goes into the root.
Into the root.
It goes
right.
into the root, but it doesn't come out of the root.
Yeah, so
it stays within the root.
So it's sealed.
Yeah, so it's sealed in there. So it can't leak. In other words,
you know, it's amazing. I think you and I talked about this the last time you were on. I had a root canal in the morning and done at 9 o'clock, and I was on the air at 11 o'clock with virtually no pain
right,
at
right.
all.
Well, root canals in the past have had a very bad reputation, but the newer techniques of doing root canals are so efficient and so effective that basically they can be done in one appointment now and are very in the hands of a competent root canal person. You know, it's a no-brainer.
Here's an email for you. My stepdaughter has had braces on her teeth since she was 14, and she's 22 now. She said a dentist can't remove them, that an orthodontist does, which current insurance doesn't cover. This seems like it could be seriously detrimental to the health of her teeth, as far as I'm concerned. She says there isn't any pain. Any comments on having braces on your teeth for 8 years?
That's pretty long. I wonder if she's still seeing the orthodontist. And if not, should probably go back to that orthodontist and have everything checked out. And if everything checks out okay, have the braces removed. That is a pretty long time.
That is a long time. Well, what would be the cost of removing the braces?
Well, you know, if she goes back to the orthodontist who did the work in the first place, that should be included in the overall price of the treatment.
So it shouldn't cost him anything?
No, not if they go back to the original orthodontist. If they went to somebody else, I mean, he would probably be interested in charging a fee for it because he had nothing to do with the case in the first place. But the original orthodontist should remove those at no fee, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. All right. Doris in Shawnee County says, please ask about a tooth pulled Wednesday, did not bleed after 24 hours, came out clean, clot has disappeared. Am I still in danger of getting dry socket today on Monday? So it was Wednesday.
Not if it doesn't hurt. If there's no pain and it's comfortable, there's no dry socket. If the so-called dry socket occurs, that occurs when the blood clot within the tooth socket breaks down and the bone is exposed. That's what causes the pain. And if the bone is not exposed, you don't have a problem.
Dave in Boston, your turn. Hi, Dave.
Hello. Yeah, I had a root canal done about a year and a half ago, and it never really stopped hurting all the way if I would, like, push on it. And about 2.5 months ago, I developed, like, a little, maybe a quarter of an inch blister sort of a thing right above that tooth. It goes up and down. It's weird. Sometimes it's flat. Sometimes it swells up, and it's kind of white when it's swollen, but it doesn't hurt. And I don't know what triggers the swelling. And
well, it basically it sounds like perhaps the tooth has reinfected, and you've got a little draining, what we call a draining sinus or a fistula, that is coming out through the gum tissue, and that will drain the infection out, and then it might close up, and then it'll get swelled up again, then it'll open and drain, and you probably should get that taken, have that looked at by somebody to make sure that it's not something that'll get progressively worse.
Yeah, I thought I should right away, but then it didn't get worse, when you have an infection, you get fevers and everything else.
Well, no, not if it's draining. If it's draining, it's not gonna get worse immediately. But if it ever gets clogged, if the drainage gets clogged up and it starts to back up, then you could get in trouble.
Okay.
So go and have it looked at.
Is that something that antibiotics would probably take care of? Or
it could be, but then again, maybe not. It depends on what's causing it. A lot of times, with a tooth that has a root canal in it, these teeth get a little bit brittle over time, and they can form cracks can form in them, and that can cause an infection. And if that's the case, you may have to lose the tooth. But here I am. I can't speculate on that because, I can't see the situation.
Okay, well, that's very helpful. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Someone else wondered, when a person loses a tooth, is more than just the crown missing?
Yeah, because the tooth, basically two-thirds of the length of the tooth is in the jaw. That's what holds the tooth in place. The tooth roots encompass about two-thirds of the length of the tooth. What you see in your mouth is about one-third of the tooth sticking up above the gum line, and the rest of the tooth is buried within the jawbone. So when a tooth is removed, they also have to remove the roots themselves. Sometimes teeth will sort of decay away, and the crown is gone, but the roots are still there, and they can cause a serious infection and should be removed.
All right, they ought to be removed. And just quickly on sedation for dentists, is there any danger of over-sedation?
Well, the only thing is if you're going to a dentist who uses oral sedation rather than intravenous sedation or either kind, a question asking what his or her experience is using these drugs would be a pertinent question. And that's something that you have to determine for yourself whether you want that done. It is done on a regular basis in many offices, but it requires training to use these drugs and intravenous drugs properly.
Lowell, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
It was great. Sounded like a root canal day today.
Yeah, it sure was. Dr. Lowell Lackritz, our guest from Madison. It's always a pleasure to have him with us. He'll be back again. We'll talk some more about preventing and treating dental disease. Tomorrow, we'll take a look at your pet's health with Dr. Sandy Sawchuk from the UW School of Veterinary Medicine. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Net.